Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening.
So
tonight we are continuing our series in Saints Behaving Badly. Such a great title. Like, you are a genius sometimes.
Yes it was.
Brilliant. So we're continuing our travels through Saints Behaving Badly, and tonight we're going to look at a biggie. Not a biggie, but a big guy. Moses. And it's been really hard, this one, because normally you go and consult the commentaries and you look at all the different areas, but so many commentators just refuse to say anything bad about Moses. Because, you know, he was a really great guy, you know, and he did amazing, amazing things, you know. He's the only guy that I can think of in the Bible that actually saw God's back, that actually stood in God's presence and had tablets that were written in God's own finger. He did amazing things and was an amazing guy, but he was just that, a guy, just a human being. And what I love about this series is we're looking at these great heroes of our faith like Moses, but we're looking at them warts and all, with their faults and their failings. Not that we might go, ha, I'm better than that, but that we might go, hang on, if he can use him, he can use me. And so tonight we're going to look at Moses. And one of the things that I think Moses struggles with throughout his life that we're going to look at tonight is Moses has a bit of a problem with anger. Okay, he certainly has some issues. And you certainly don't want to make him angry. He seriously, throughout his life, he seems to struggle with anger. And I felt it was right that I do this one because I too struggle with anger. Now, there's different types of anger, isn't there? There's that explosive kind of just want to hit something red, really want to scream at somebody anger. And thankfully, I don't get like that very often. But, you know, let's face it, we all do get like that. And I can remember one of the worst experiences of my life was when I got that angry. And it's 11 years later and it's still horrible thought to think of that. But there's also other types of anger. There's that kind of seething anger. You know, the one that just is usually born of frustration, that just kind of sits in your chest and kind of comes out when you complain and when you moan and when you gossip and when you just want to moan about something to somebody. As you might be able to tell, that one I find quite difficult. And throughout Moses' life, we'll see those different types of anger. But before I do anything else, I want to just get out there that anger in and of itself is not wrong. God gets angry. Jesus got angry. Getting angry is not wrong, but anger quite often leads us into sin. In Psalm 4:4, it says, in your anger, don't sin. We are meant to get angry, and anger isn't a wrong thing, but sometimes it's righteous anger, sometimes it's anger that is born of God, and sometimes it's anger that's just born of us. And we need to differentiate between those two. And whatever happens tonight, I hope we can learn from Moses' example or in what not to do and learn how to control our anger, no matter how it is born. So let's start. Let's get into it. Let's go to Moses' first story about anger. We'll go to Exodus 2. Okay, now bear in mind, if we go to Exodus 2, it starts off with the birth of Moses at chapter 1. And then chapter 11, we find the first story where we see his anger. Okay, in between that, all that's happened is he's been put in a basket and sent down a river. So hard to find if he was angry at that point. But here in verse 11, Exodus 2, verse 11 onwards. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, I'll be honest, it doesn't say there he got angry, but I'd argue that if we're looking at this and we're saying Moses wasn't angry, we're looking at a psychopath here. So I think it's safe to say that he's angry, and he's angry. And actually, let's look at the situation. Okay, Moses, who knows he's a Hebrew, brought up by Egyptians, comes out and he sees his people being enslaved, being oppressed. He sees his people whose only crime is being Israelite. They're there because Joseph, years and years before, brought his family and saved Egypt. And now, as a nation that's grown up there, they are enslaved just because they're there, just because they are Hebrew. Then, to top it all, not only is he seeing his people worked and enslaved, as well, he sees an Egyptian beating one of his people, presumably to death. If we look at Acts 7, we actually sort of see Stephen say that Moses avenged the Hebrew, which suggests that the Hebrew himself was actually killed. So actually, I want to argue at this point, right? Moses' anger with the Egyptian is not only right, but it's good. It's what it's meant to be. You know, if you're faced with that sort of injustice, the appropriate response is to get angry. And I want to argue that as a people of God, as his church today, we are meant to get angry. When we're faced with injustice, we're meant to get angry. When we find that we pay £3 for a coffee down the road, and the farmers that got it, that grew it, that have harvested it, earned a pittance from our £3 coffee, then we're supposed to get angry. When we find out there are 27 million people in this world that are enslaved, many of them in sexual slavery, that are raped for profit, we are meant to be angry. We're meant to go, no, 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 that is not what we're meant to be like. That is not what we're meant to be as human beings. I'm sorry. But we're meant to be angry about this. We're meant to. But in our anger, we're not meant to sin. So what is our response? I'm ashamed to say that my response so often in this case is to shy away from it, to look the other way. Lauren sent me an email. Where are you? There you go. He sent me an email this week. And thanks, Lauren, for this. 15 habits you should have formed by the time you're 30. Brilliant. I was looking at this thinking, I can't win this. If I have done them, I'm over 30. If I haven't done them, I've got no time. So I had a look. And I was pleased to say quite a few of them I was doing all right with. I'd got quite a few of these habits. And they were good habits, by the way, not bad ones. I thought, I'm doing all right there. And then there was one that said, read the news daily. And I sent a message back to Lauren saying, I can't do that. I just can't do that. It's not that, you know, I can't physically do it. I can get a paper. I can open up Google News. But I was like, I can't do that because I know that it will just get me upset and it will just get me angry, because every day I'll see, you know, war and poverty and injustice and, you know, people being witch hunted and intolerance and gossip. And I just like, I can't do that because I'll get upset and I'll get angry. I can't do that every day. And then underneath that little thing that said read the news daily, it said, how are you going to change the world if you don't know anything about it? And I was like, ow, I don't want to look at this stuff. I don't want to get angry about it. I don't want to get upset about it. But we can't shy away from it. We mustn't shy away from it. We must get angry about injustice, because God gets angry about injustice. Because God, it breaks God's heart to see these things. And so it should break our heart as well. But in our anger, we shouldn't sin. Moses, in his anger at seeing this injustice, it was right to be angry at the injustice that these people were suffering, but in his anger, he sinned. He killed this Egyptian. And this is where the commentators were all sort of like, he was justified to do it. No, he's murder. Plain and simple. It was sin. And it led to his exile. So he went into, it was self-imposed exile. He went into Midian for 40 years and he suffered the worst punishment possible, living with his in-laws. I'm sure I'd have been fine, but it's too late, isn't it? Okay. 40 years he lived in Midian and he learned to be a shepherd. And in that, obviously, God was preparing him for what was to come next, where he would shepherd Israel. And he did seem to learn. If we move on to Exodus 11, we see Moses seemed to pick up some lessons in Midian, how to be a shepherd, but also how to deal with his anger. If we turn to Exodus 11, we'll start at verse 4. What's happening here is Moses has returned from Midian, and he's gone to Pharaoh, and he's told Pharaoh time and again that to let his people go. That God has said to let the Israelites go. And 9 plagues have come from God, trying to convince Pharaoh that it's time for the Israelites to be set free. And then Moses comes with the final message from God. Verse 4. So Moses said, "This is what the Lord says. About midnight I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any animal or man. Then you will know the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down and saying to me, 'Go, you and all the people who follow you.' After that, I will leave." Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. Moses, again, we get this sense of anger from him. You know what it means to be hot with anger, don't you? That feeling of just fury and red that just suffuses your face. He is hot with anger at Pharaoh. Again, I think this is a righteous anger. And we need to be able to differentiate between those. And we'll think about that in a second, how we can do that. But again, I think this is a righteous anger because he stood before Pharaoh and he's saying, "Let the people go. If you don't, all the firstborn will die." He's laying this plague at the feet of Pharaoh. This is Pharaoh's fault for being so stubborn. And he is angry that it has come to this. He is angry that innocents will die because of Pharaoh's decision to not let the people go. But Moses learned his lesson. What does he do with his anger in this one? Does he start having a go at Pharaoh? Does he run at him and try and kill him as well? No. He stands up and he turns away and he walks away. Now, what he's not doing is turning his back on the problem. He's not saying, "Okay, it's not my problem anymore." He's turning his back on the situation, walking away with his anger. And I believe he's then confessing his anger to God. Because ultimately, he's leaving it in God's hands. This whole situation is being left in the hands of God, who is the one that will see something done about it. And there's our example. What do we do when we're angry? Whether it's good anger, righteous anger about injustice, or whether it's anger at somebody else, what is the first thing we should do? We should walk away and give it to God. Just confess it to him. Just lay it at his feet and just let him deal with the situation. And sometimes that's so hard because we're so wound up. But actually it's the best thing for us in our anger, but it's the best thing for the situation. Especially when we're getting angry about injustice. We aren't necessarily the ones that are going to bring justice, but we know the one who is. And so we confess our anger to God. And that's difficult. And sometimes you don't even know what to pray. We had a prayer meeting here a few weeks ago. And we laid out on a table the names of all these different countries around the world and all the different things that were going on in each of them. And we stood there and it was amazing. We all stood around it and we prayed for these different countries. But I stood there and I was like, God, I don't know how to pray for these countries. I don't know what to say. I just don't know. And actually, sometimes that prayer is enough. Sometimes just confessing our anger at the situation, intercessing before people and before countries and before nations, interceding on their behalf is enough. Even if we don't understand the situation, even if we don't understand how it can be fixed, we lay it at the one who can do it all, because he knows what's going to happen. He knows what is the best thing to do, and he is the one that will see it done. Moses' action here is brilliant. He walks away and he leaves it to God to deal with. I'd love to say that Moses then, kind of towards the end of his life, just kind of gets it now. He's kind of dealt with his anger, and now he knows how to deal helpfully with his anger. Unfortunately, if we turn to Numbers 20, we find at the very end of Moses' life, his anger gets the better of him, and it costs him very dearly. If we look at Numbers 22 to 13... Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into the desert, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring your water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community in the land into the land I give them." I always kind of struggle with this passage. It seemed like such a tiny thing, tiny difference, for Moses to be banned from going into the promised land. But here, if we look at Psalm 106, it actually says his anger led to rash action. In his anger, he spoke rashly. Moses, in his anger, speaks rashly. And instead of saying to the rock, "Give us water," he says, "Must we bring forth water out of this rock?" He takes credit for a miracle that is God's. And water is brought out for the community by him striking the rock. And sure enough, it could be that it's all about the fact that he took credit for something God was doing. But actually, some people suggest there's something symbolic going on here. That actually, in his anger, Moses struck the rock, which was always a symbol for God. And out of that rock came the water. And in that, Moses showed unbelief and actually a real symbolic problem of striking the rock. In his anger, and it was this time, it's not that explosive, hot, railing anger. It's that seething, frustrating anger, which, if you read about the Israelites, you can kind of understand. They must have been incredibly frustrating to work with. But in his anger, he speaks rashly. And it costs him going into the promised land. And here is something for us to learn from Moses. Yes, we are meant, I believe, to be angry about things, about injustice. And we're not meant to shy away from those things. And yes, sometimes we're called, in fact, every time we're called to confess our anger to God and at times walk away and leave it to him. But above all, we are called to control our anger and above all, be obedient to God. That was Moses' failing here. In his anger, he acted rashly, he spoke rashly, and was not obedient to what God asked him to do. Even in our anger, whether it be righteous, whether it be good, whether it be wrong, we are meant to control ourselves. And I know, you know, I don't have this too much because I don't have kids, thankfully, but you know, I've grew up with brothers and sisters, and I remember sometimes my parents would go, "Just control your anger," and they go, "I can't!" And the fact is, we all go, I can't control my anger. And actually, yes, we can. Actually, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And God gives it to us to control our anger. There's no excuse for holding on to our anger. We must confess it, let it go, and be in control. And above all, be obedient. Basically, from the life of Moses, and we can learn from his mistakes, there are three things we kind of need to get when it comes to our anger. What we need to do, the first thing is to confess our anger to God. And let him deal with our anger and maybe even deal with the situation. We need to consider our anger. Why on earth are we angry? Sometimes God gives us the chance to be angry at injustice. And so we can think, what on earth am I angry about? Why am I angry about this injustice? Why? What is it about this that is wrong that I need to give to God, that I need to intercede with? Sometimes it is even something in us that we need to fix, some sin in our life that makes us angry at something else. And also we need to consider how. How can my anger here not be destructive, but actually be a blessing? Moses' anger at the end here, right or wrong, could have been a blessing to the people. in his anger, he could have spoken to that rock and water would have come out and everything would have been fine and it would have been a blessing to the people. But he didn't. Our anger, properly channeled, properly considered, can be a blessing to others. It can bring justice and love and peace. And we're to control our anger. And above all, be obedient to what God asks us next. So this week, I kind of have a challenge for you, which is a bit strange, I guess, is to get angry. Get angry at something that's wrong in this world. It shouldn't be too hard. I didn't want to get angry up here, really. But it's just so wrong, some of the things in our world. And in that anger, confess it to God. Let him deal with it. Let him deal with that. And let him intercede into that situation for that injustice. Consider that anger. Control it. And then be ready for what he asks you to do. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the stories in this wonderful book. We thank you that you present these people, warts and all. You present them as human beings so that we might know that you can use any of us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to recognize when our anger is righteous and when our anger is not. We pray this week you would help us to get angry about the right things and not the wrong things. Lord, help us to exercise self-control and above all to confess our anger to you, that we might intercede in this world, that we might be the church that you created us to be, the prophetic church, the people that stand up for injustice and seek the broken and the lost. Lord, thank you that you are a God that can take our anger, our rants, our intercession, and do something with it. Lord, help us to be obedient to you this week and every day. Amen.